Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're listening to Giants Croncast, a podcast chronicling the San Francisco Giants, featuring Brian Murphy and Doug Brazoni. Part of FFSN, Fans First Sports Network.
I was listening to the old podcast, the McCovey Croncast, to listen to what we said during Gabe Kapler's hiring. And you weren't on that one, actually, Doug. So that was Sammy Higgins and I. But it did occur to me as I was listening through it and going through some old articles that he was hired right before we were all laid off by Vox. So, I don't know, a lot of like the start of Kapler's era kind of was fuzzy to me. Anyway, Gabe Kapler is no longer the manager of the Giants. Let's just start there. We didn't do an emergency podcast on Friday because I'm roping you in, Doug. We're two old men.
Yeah, Brian sent me a message on Twitter saying, should we do an emergency podcast? And I said, in classic form, I'm tired.
And mine was like obligatory. I was like, I guess I do an emergency podcast. I mean, I really reached out. I think it wasn't like immediate. It was like a couple of hours later being like, oh yeah, we should probably.
Right. We have a podcast about this subject. I guess maybe we should do one. And I was like, counterpoint, I'm going to go lie down in a dark room.
The end of a long week, Friday afternoon, not the best time to podcast for anyone curious. If this were our full-time job, yes, obviously we would have to do it. But I was like, no, I'm so tired. So this gives us a little bit of time to regroup and think about it. The value proposition for this one is that you have two guys who have been thinking about this for a couple of days instead of just reactions. So I think we're going to have some different things to say than everything else people have said. We're recording this after the Giants let the Dodgers win 100 games again. Just that happened. So 79 and
look, they won one game in the series. That's one more than they won in the last game of the series in 2018 or 2019. Hey, that's the greatest result you could have hoped for.
So they're 79-83, a worse record than last year. And yes, you're right, Doug. As the world turns, they still were able to salvage a game in the series, unlike recent history.
The Giants, by the way, I'm just going to get off top a little bit more. And they only lost the last game by a field goal instead of by more than a touchdown, which is also tradition. I think I don't remember if it was 2018 or 2019. I think they lost the last game to the Dodgers like 15-0.
Yeah.
God, that was embarrassing.
So that was the game where they lost 15-0. And then in Farhan Zaidi's introductory press conference, that was the game he said, he's like, you know, as I was leaving the game, I stayed behind to watch Hunter Pence's farewell speech. And I was really touched by how everyone, you know, the community, the fans, they're really engaged with their team, even though, you know, their team got drubbed or whatever. And here we are 5 years later, and it's Brandon Crawford's farewell. And it's like the same thing. The Dodgers get done mopping the floor with the Giants. Again, not as bad. So there is some progress in 5 years, right? The Giants still are not in the same league as the Dodgers, but they're not several thousand light years apart anymore. Maybe only a couple thousand light years. So it's changing. But we're here to talk about Gabe Kapler, I guess, or at least his tenure. It's the first time in 38 years that the Giants has fired a manager. So that's worth mentioning, I think. That's a big deal. Doug, how did you feel about this decision? Any change in the last 48, 72 hours?
I mean, it's one of the things that, before we get to the reason they did it, I mean, there's a lot of things that Kapler did right that we should acknowledge, because, you know, he was very much in line with the San Francisco kind of values in a way that almost no one else in baseball is. Like, literally no one else would have been very much in favor of, yeah, let's do those DEI programs. Let's hire Alyssa Nacken. Let's talk about racial justice. Let's kneel once. I mean, Kapler doing that was a pretty big deal. And it's pretty important that he was so outspoken about those kinds of social justice issues. From that kind of perspective, you know, we're going to miss him. As much as, you know, let's say the next manager is Ron Wotus. I don't think it will be, but just hypothetically, as much as people love Ron Wotus, right? That's not him. You know, he's not going to do that. I can't think of anyone else in baseball who will do any part of that. So, I mean, you're going to miss that aspect of his personality. But on the other hand, when the team plays like shit in September, the manager gets fired. Like, that's just what happens. This is a team that was a contending team heading into September. They had had a bad August. They went 12-15. They weren't very good in July either. I mean, it was mostly the second half, but in July they were 12-13. They were still in position for the playoffs in that third wild card spot, and they just tanked. And that's not the kind of thing you expect a clubhouse to rebound from without significant changes. And usually those changes mean the manager. I mean, that's just how it works. The players play like that for a full month. The manager gets fired. It does not matter if the players are not good enough, which is on Farhan and the front office. What matters is that they took their normal performance over the course of the season, even their performance, you know, in August, and they got way worse right when they needed to not get worse. So you kind of understand it from that point that you need somebody else in charge, or else it might be the same thing again next year.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of like, well, he's managing a team that was given to him, all that. There's a part of that. Like, I want to talk about that later. Just hold the franchise, the organization's culpability or factor in all this. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of inescapable. Like, what else is supposed to happen when the team is this bad on the road, when on August 3rd, they still had a 75% playoff probability, when you're getting these press, all this press leak about, you know, the clubhouse isn't running smoothly. Oh, well, if they were just winning, you wouldn't hear so much about that. Yeah, but they weren't winning. Is, you know, Elliot Ramos being benched or being yo-yoed some element of this? Is Patrick Bailey pinch hitting when he's gassed? You know, all these little things that we mentioned. The old heads keep citing the Mark Mathias for Brandon Crawford pinch hit. Like, there's all these little things where it's like, yeah, Mark Mathias is on the roster because of the front office, but, you know, by all accounts, it sounds like Gabe Kapler had some leeway in terms of a decision tree or in terms of pinch hitting and all that. And the organization likes to pinch hit, and Gabe Kapler agreed with that and thought that gave them the best chance to win. And so he had leeway to do that, what he wanted. So I mean, I want to save this for anxiety part of this conversation. I guess my feeling is like, yeah, I get why people want to provide him with some cover or like excuse away, say like this is kind of unfair to him. But I think about these two things. He was not a popular hire to begin with, and managers are intentionally the first buffer between the executive team and being fired themselves. And so if the team is not performing on the field, it's what Doug said, the manager has to go first. If you can avoid both of you being fired at the same time, you have to make that change. So on that surface, I'm like, I understand that they were supposed to make the playoffs this year. They were worse than they were last year. Who shouldn't, like, some heads should roll for that. Should it be Gabe Kapler? Sure, why not? Now, this creates all these other issues of like, wow, that whole coaching staff's going to probably be dismantled. Alyssa Nacken's going to go. Like, we don't know. Like, we don't know what degree of accountability or like responsibility people have. I will say, like, the more people you have in an organization, it does certainly create more of a culture of CYA than responsibility. I think, like, the more people you have spreading out the workload, then it's hard to pinpoint like a couple of changes here or there. So it kind of almost begs you to do a cultural shift. And if you're doing that, the organization, you know, Pete Patel is in, that's an organizational shift the front office has already made. You have a fresher voice there with player development. Now, maybe in the clubhouse, you needed to make some change. I think it was a fair decision, and it's still somehow the right decision that creates a lot of questions and possibly more problems. Right. pretty classic 2023 Giants situation.
I remember a few years ago when I was still writing for McCubby Chronicles, there was something I cut from an article, and I don't remember what article. And it was a takeoff of an old joke, but the joke was like, an old manager gets fired, and on his last day, the interim manager comes in, or the new manager comes in, and he's like, do you have any advice for me? And he thinks the old guy's gonna be mad, and the old guy says, no, it's fine, it's part of the game. Here. So he gives him three envelopes, one, two, and three. And he's like, so just when you have a crisis, open one of these envelopes, and that's how you're gonna get through it. So the guy's like, all right. So a few months later, the team, had been playing okay, and they started to leap off a cliff. Opens the first envelope. It says, call up some rookies. So, all right. So, they call up some rookies, get some playing time. They stabilize for a little bit, fall off a cliff again. Opens the second envelope. Reorganize the coaching staff. Well, all right. So, they go with the coaches. He says, this guy, reassigning this guy, firing this guy, bring this other guy up from the minors. And it works for a little while. And then it doesn't work. And so he goes and looks at the last envelope, and he opens it up, and it says, write three envelopes. Yeah. Like, there's only so many levers you can pull as a manager.
Yeah. Hey, all you Golden State Warriors fans out there, you got to tune into the Oakland Warriors podcast, the official Dubs podcast of Fans First Sports Network. It's awesome. It's hosted by Patrick Epino and a rotating crew of guests who follow this franchise for decades, just like Doug and I have with the Giants. The show dives deep into all things Warriors, both on the court and off. Will the Dubs be legit contenders this year? Is Steve Kerr actually going to play Jonathan Kuminga enough to have a breakout year? Will the Chris Paul trade be a blessing or a curse? I'm very interested to know that myself. And most importantly, can Steph win another title? Or maybe two? The show takes an all-encompassing look at the greatest team in the NBA. No hot takes, no agendas, no bluster, and no goofy knee-jerk reactions. Just smart, insightful Warriors talk about the past, present, and future from one of the best in the business. Tune in and subscribe to the People's Podcast, the Oakland Warriors Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube at youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Let's go!
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
It was probably time. I mean, I keep going back to, like, no one was happy about this from the beginning. It's just important, I guess. He did win the manager of the year literally two seasons ago. It's remarkable how fast things change, how far people fall so quickly. But we see this happen with players all the time. So I guess at the end of the day, it shouldn't be that upsetting or that big of a shock. It just creates all these separate issues. So I guess I was like, not stunned the way I didn't want to write about this, but like Farhan's ideas interview on KMBR, the clubhouse leaks, all that portended. That was a portent of he's going to get canned, and that's what happened. Also, just rereading John Middleton's comments, the Phillies owner, because Matt Klentak was like, we're bringing him back. The president of baseball ops is like, he's coming back. And then Middleton overruled him, which led to Klentak coming out, eventually leaving. And it's like, I looked at two September collapses and I just couldn't like do it again. And then they go with Joe Girardi, which is like, that didn't help them. But But I will point this out, like, in terms of if people want to, like, try to hold, like, the Giants actually got their shit together last September. They were 18-8 last September. They had a great September to get back to 500. And then this year, they were really good for, like, a month and a half. Some people want to say 2 months, fine. And then I was thinking about some more, Doug, like, oh, he did it. Like, Grant wrote about this. Grant wrote two great pieces about Gabe Kapler, pre-firing, post-firing, I thought, this week in The Athletic. No offense to you. Also great writing on giantsdoug.substack.com. All offense to me, who was doing the content on McCoveyChronicles.com. Did my best. But he was looking at it in the before the firing article that, like, they weren't, there were some criticisms from fans that Kapler chewed up the bullpen, but Grant couldn't find any evidence of that. And I will say this, like, I think that's largely true, but at the same time, it looked like the whole bullpen was gassed in about the last month or 6 weeks of the season. So, like, on paper, maybe they weren't that used, but somehow the way that they did it, they still wound up at the result that they were trying to avoid. That's what it looked like to me. Like, the Giants' best laid plans, the best laid plans of mice and men? It's like, it didn't work. It still didn't wind up working. And this year, it looks like he had to do more platooning than even last year. And it just didn't work out. Some details about the day. This is the next bit I want to get into. Slusser had it first. Susan Slusser coming over from the A's beat onto the Giants beat. An irony looming, Doug, that Bob Melvin could become the Giants manager. Slusser tweeted at 2:10 p.m. The Giants then made an announcement, I think 10 minutes later. So they didn't want that just hanging out there for very long. And when the Giants announced it on Twitter, it followed with a statement from Farhan Zaidi. He said, after making this recommendation to ownership and receiving their approval, I met with Gabe today to inform him of our decision. In his tenure as Giants manager, Gabe led our team through an unprecedented pandemic in 2020 and a franchise record 107 wins and a postseason berth in 2021. He has been dedicated and passionate in his efforts to improve the on-field performance of the San Francisco Giants, and I have tremendous respect for him as a colleague and friend. On behalf of the Giants organization, we wish Gabe the best of luck in his future endeavors and thank him for his contributions over the last 4 years. He then said in a press conference he had nothing negative to say about Gabe Kapler. I do want to focus just for a moment on the opening of that statement. After making this recommendation to ownership and receiving their approval, that's how it starts. Like, that's an odd way to start a statement about your manager. Gabe Kapler, it seems like the more formal way of doing it is like, after much deliberation, we have decided to part ways with Gabe Kapler as manager of the San Francisco Giants. This decision did not come easy, but it came in consultation as a recommendation to ownership, which they approved. But by leading with that, it certainly seems to be telegraphing that Greg Johnson, despite 2 or 3 weeks ago giving a firm commitment to both Zaidi and Kapler, who no one has ever denied in the 4 years that Gabe Kapler was a manager, that they work hand in hand, up to and including Farhan Zaidi afterwards in the press conference. There was no indication that there was any friction or that they were starting to differ or whatever. I think it's just like the press, all that clubhouse stuff that came out on top of the results. And obviously the old season ticket holders there, like all that just came to a head and it forced them to make some sort of a change. Is that like a completely outlandish read of the situation?
No, I mean, I don't think Farhan wanted to fire Kapler. But I think his hand was kind of forced. And I think probably ownership did take a look and say, well, what else is going to change? Because the season ticket holders are really unhappy with this team. Fans are really unhappy with this team. People are a lot more unhappy with this team than they were after 2019, 2018, like worse seasons, probably not 2017. People were pretty pissed after 2017. 2013 was a bad year. I think the fan base is a lot more up in arms than they ever were before. And so there really is a sort of a PR aspect to it that ownership is going to look at a lot more carefully than the baseball operations side of things. And that is at least fairly likely, I think, p- part of what happened, part of why they had to make this move. And but also, when that clubhouse stuff starts coming out, that's kind of telegraphing it. That, I mean, it feels like, you know, someone goes to a beat reporter and is like, hey, you should ask Mike Yastrzemski about the clubhouse culture right now. And they're like, "What? Well, I should? I didn't say anything. I, you know, so what? I have no idea." Because, you know, as soon as there was one article on clubhouse culture, there were like 8 articles on clubhouse culture. And that is never a good sign for the manager. That is a sign of them laying the groundwork immediately that, yeah, it's time for him.
There, the press conference was interesting. Between the Cambiar talk, which I think was the day before the interview with Tom Tolbert, and then the next day with the press conference after the news had broke and after the statement from the team, Evan Wiebeck, so I've been saying it wrong. So anyway, Far Anxiety said he informed Gabe Kapler he was fired in an hour-long discussion. Ultimately, he said, Far Anxiety said, quote, "We played our worst baseball when it mattered most," unquote. Which we said, the Giants flunked their biggest test of the year. Which is the, you know, he said it actually better than us. We said it slightly more dramatically, but that was the best. That is, like, to me, that is an unequivocal, it's been 4 years, and when it mattered most, we played our worst. That, to me, should be enough to, it's the fact that they're tied together so, you know, philosophically, right? And obviously, Far Anxiety burning up his, you know, his starting credits, his, you know, with the press, with the fan base, by stepping across the aisle to bring in embattled Gabe Kapler into the organization, right? That was the starting point for Far Anxiety. You know, after 1 year, he's like, no Bumgarner, no Bochy. And now Gabe Kapler's in. He's my guy. And it's like, okay, you're using a lot of credit on that. And of course, 2021 happens, and even 2020, those two things happen, and it kind of makes it look good. But after 4 years, we're at a point where it's like, okay, time to belly up. Like, let's see what they're made of. And they fell apart here. But the hour-long meeting, I want to talk about this. Well, one of the things that I read from one of the savvy commenters on, I think it was McCovey Chronicles, someone pointed out, like, is it possible that Gabe Kapler, that Far Anxiety went to Gabe, or Gabe called the meeting, because we know how Gabe can be, and there was just simply a discussion about the future. And maybe it was like, oh, we're going to part ways after the season. Or, and Gabe maybe pushed back or asked the question like, well, why wait? If all you're going to, because what Far Anxiety says, we didn't want to have Gabe Kapler answering questions about his future for the next 3 days. You know, we've got the Willie Mack Award. We've got Brandon Crawford saying goodbye. We're playing the Dodgers. Like, it just seems like it's too big of a distraction for the next 3 days. And also, he's my friend, and I just don't want him going through that. That all seems like it could go from one or the other. Gabe saying, like, well, why are we waiting? Because maybe that conversation is like, look, we're going to let you go. We'll let you manage these 3 games if you want. And Gabe's like, well, you know, was it, I guess what I was saying is, do you think there's a possibility that Gabe was basically saying, like, well, if you're going to do it, let's just do it now, and talking Zaidi into doing that? As opposed to Gabe or Zaidi explaining to him why they were doing that.
I mean, it's possible. I would imagine, though, that, you know, we've all seen lame duck managers in their last, like, few games, and it kind of sucks for everyone. I mean, you know, Farhan, I think, likes Kapler a lot personally, and you don't want to see someone go through that. And it's also, it would be kind of a distraction. Like, it people in sports talk about distractions all the time, and it's so annoying. We can't sign Colin Kaepernick. He'll be a distraction. But I think in this case, it would be, especially if a rumor started to get out, because rumors do always get out, that Kapler is going to be gone. You know, like you said, you have the Willie Mack Award. You have Brandon Crawford's last team. You don't want that overshadowed by the manager who's about to be fired, never knows he's about to be fired. And, you know, by getting rid of him before the start of the Dodgers series, it really wasn't a distraction. Like, we all talked about it. It was what it was. And the team went on and played exactly the same quality of baseball that they had for all of September. So in a way, that argues that it wasn't Kapler's fault. But but I mean, to take away from those moments with this outside speculation, I think they wouldn't want to do that. My guess would be, you know, they talked about, you know, probably Farhan went in there, was pretty direct. They talked about where things went wrong. They talked about the state of the organization. You know, it's kind of a bummer to get fired. Like, it was, Farhan was probably had a whole list of like great things that Kapler had done. They were really happy he'd done. You know, not to say he wants to like pump up his friend, but he does want to sort of emphasize that it wasn't an entirely negative tenure, right? Like the turnaround, even before 2021, the turnaround in how the team felt from 2019 to 2020 was pretty big, even though that 2020 team missed the playoffs, but missed the fake 18 playoffs by like a tiebreaker. They were still basically a 500 team that also employed Sam Coonrod. So, you know, what are you going to do? And then, you know, obviously 2021 was a great year. 2022 was, you know, mediocre, but not as bad as it should have been. And a lot of that was due to the manager. But at some point, if you're not taking the next step, you just have to kind of get rid of the guy you have and try to find someone who's going to take that next step. And if it doesn't happen in 2024, then the next guy they're going to get rid of will be Farhan Zaidi.
100%. I guess we should talk about him next, and it's kind of unavoidable. I feel like I saved that for the last segment, but I think we should just do it now. I mean, this is a lame duck year now that he's entering. I feel like every bit of news this offseason, who's in the coaching, the managerial pool, what staff they keep, who they lose. We've already seen some people leaving the organization. You know, who they get, who they fail to get. I feel like every bit of news is going to be a referendum on him. Like, it's now all on him. And my feelings on all this are, I was not happy, a fan of the Gabe Kapler hire. I'm glad it worked out for the 2 years that it did. But I also think it just goes to show that the 2 years where it really worked out, which I'm going to say were 2020 and 2021, but I'm going to put a caveat of like, you know, a hot September in 2022. What was the common thread through all the three of those seasons? They had good players there, you know, not to take away, you know, not to say like Evan Longoria is some great player, but like he was part of what happened last year. He, you know, Brandon Crawford coming back and having a nice couple weeks, that was part of it. Like, so they had like some actual talent to play. You know, Jock Peterson played great last year. Yeah, he's playing fine this year. We have to look at the numbers. It's like, he's such a bummer this year. But the point is, like, the Giants actually had good performances even last year that even let them get to 81 and 81. 2021, we know. 2020, we saw, you know, Mauricio Dubon making him into a center fielder. Who saw that coming? You know, there, like you said, there are plenty of things that you can take in, you know, assign to Gabe, assign to the front office mechanism, their algorithm, however you want to insult them or praise them, like their system, it works. I guess there's part of me like, I'm fine with losing Gabe. If I'm looking at this from what Farhan Zaidi has done, and I kind of joked about this, he kind of realized he can't have two versions of himself existing. Doug, he's platooning himself. He's creating a platoon situation in the clubhouse. He's like, I need someone who can handle the other side of this, that my system over here isn't working for. I guess what I'm saying is like, it's tough to be a lame duck. I hope he hasn't given up. I do also think about this. I always go back to this quote because I'm now insane. But that 10-year-old quote of like, you know, given sound sabermetric principles, you can always have a 75-win team. That's, you know, $50 million payroll, whatever million-dollar payroll. And I would like to think that what qualifies as sound sabermetric principles has evolved over the last decade, because that just makes sense. But I hear his comments about like, I need to make some changes or things need to change. Now, that could be something that he was told to say or assigned to say by Greg Johnson, by, you know, the ownership. So he doesn't want to lose his job, right? That's what that means. He's like, well, it's either him or me and I'm staying. So it seems like he would be committed to putting together a good team this year. And I guess what I'm saying is he going to be able to get out of his own way to do that? Because he's going to have to do something. This is what you talked about last week. He hasn't gotten the players. He's going to have to do something to get the players.
So what's interesting to me is going into 2020, like, and 2021, there was some creativity in the players he acquired, right? Like, he didn't just sign Kevin Gausman as a reclamation project. He didn't just sign Carlos Rodon because they could get him immediately. But he also pulled Darren Ruff back from Korea, which worked great for 2 years. Like, Darren Ruff was a really good hitter. They got him for nothing. They, you know, the way they looked for guys in trades, those like minor trades that got them Mike Yastrzemski, Lamont Wade Jr. I just didn't see that kind of creativity this year in acquiring players. And it's one of the things that I was kind of critical of after 2021. And, you know, after 2021, you have to give them a lot of credit and be like, well, I mean, they're smarter than me and know what they're doing. But when he was like, yeah, we're just going to run it back. And I was like, well, that's not a good idea. Like, this team's only going to get worse. You have to change things. Like, you keep the core around, but then you kind of change around the edges. But bringing back Alex Wood and Anthony DeSclafani, I thought, were both pretty bad ideas. But they did it because it feels like the Giants' way is, yeah, I mean, these guys had good years. We had a great team. We're just bringing them all back. See what happens. So, I mean, kind of you bring in a Farhan Zaidi, an innovative, smart baseball thinker, because in order to not do that, so what happened to that? You know, what happened to that guy who sees things that other people don't, who understands how things are going to go when other people don't? If he's not that guy for next year, then he's not going to be around in 2025.
And I think being a lame duck, running scared, that has the potential. I don't know. When I'm tired or stressed, I'm far less creative, and I don't think that that's like a unique. That's unique to me. That's part of the human experience.
Yeah, exactly. Although I'll say, I do write all of my newsletters when I'm tired. So,
but not scared.
Not scared. So, well, scared, I'm not going to get enough sleep.
Well, if you've listened this far, and I really am thankful for anyone listening this far, I think this is the value proposition as well, that it's been danced around by some other sources, but I think we need to just kind of, I really think this is it. I am a firm believer that every organization, whatever the tone and tenor, the culture, the bottom of the ladder, the top of the ladder, how everything feels, it starts at the top. People want to say that the top is Farhan Zaidi, but that's not the case. The top is the ownership group. Was Larry Bear, now Greg Johnson, representing his dad, but also the shareholders. And I would say that Greg Johnson, we're kind of dancing around, like, it's almost certainly his call that Zaidi had to fire Kapler. And if that's the case, we are now clearly in, like, rich kid jerking around from feeling to feeling, emotion to emotion situation, in which case all bets are off on the future of this franchise. Now, you don't like me disparaging rich people? Fine. How about this? The Giants have a middle of the pack payroll, and that's not going up. It's going to stay under $200 million in real dollars. It's not going up. Other sources have pointed out that every team got $30 million this year as a payoff for selling off the rest of their share for MLBAM, or their streaming platform, to Disney. Disney had an option this year to buy up the rest of it. Another terrible, terrible move by the baseball owners to revolutionize streaming video on the internet and then just sell it off, strip it for parts. But the bottom line is that every team got a $30 million final payment. What did the Giants do? Credit to them, I guess. They reinvested that back into their payroll. So versus last year, their payroll went up $30 million. Well, guess what? They have a lot of money coming off the books, but their payroll is probably going to be around the 160, 170 range. So they're not getting support. Farhan Zaidi's baseball ops department not getting the support from ownership to make the moves they want. I think there's a version where they're giving Cody Bellinger a ridiculous one-year offer just to get him, along with Michael Conforto and Mitch Haniger and the three other guys they got, after missing out on Judge and after missing out on, or they're going after Dansby Swanson. You know what I mean? Like, there was something, there is a version where the Giants spent even more money this past offseason, but instead Farhan Zaidi had to look at balance the risks of tying up payroll commitments, knowing the payroll is going to be this number going forward. You know, the reason, if you look at it, they signed a bunch of opt-outs after 1 year because that $30 million that they got this year is not going to follow them into next year. So you had to give yourself some wiggle room of like, okay, if it doesn't work out with one of these guys, maybe it will with some of these guys, they'll opt out, whatever. It's like, it'll all balance out. Plus all this other money coming off the books. If you look at their books, that's what it's designed for. And so what he has to now do is figure out how to even change, like, what are sound sabermetric principles at this point? It seems like they got really obsessed with swing decisions. Is there is there anything else that they could look at as like, well, we've got to start making some choices with even that if we're going to be more entertaining?
I mean, yeah, they should be looking at other things. Just going back to Mark Mathias for a second, he can make all the great swing decisions he wants. He can't hit the ball 200 feet. Like, what were they doing, you know, ever calling him up? It's one of those things that they're very, very focused on one thing, but a baseball player is an entire package. And so, like, that's, to me, that's sort of a defining failure, which is that, like, I don't care that much that Mark Mathias pinch hit for Brandon Crawford one time. I care that Mark Mathias was on the roster when he doesn't have enough strength to be on a major league roster. Which really clear, like if you watched him play, was really clearly the case. And to me, that speaks of a thinking of there's only one thing we care about: swing decisions. Everything else, you know, what it'll come through in time. It won't.
Well, we fired all of our scouts, so we don't know what these guys look like. We just have to look at the paper or
FanGraphs says.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they spend all the money on is RAM so that they can have multiple FanGraphs tabs open without crashing the computer.
You need a lot of RAM these days. So you really do. And so I think they do need to bring in, you know, having a manager who would look at Mark Mathias and be like, what? No. What are you doing? No. I have more comments and they're all no. I think that would bring a lot of value. When Gabe Kapler, I don't mean this is like entirely a criticism of him personally. I mean, this is a criticism of the way the organization operated. They were too much in lockstep where he'd be like, great swing decisions. Let's do it. I love it. You know?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, he's platooning himself. He's platooning. Yeah. So, I mean, that's, if you're looking at it like, well, what marginal gain, what move at the margin can I make to potentially improve this team? This is the element I was saving also for the end. So the value judgment, listeners, two things. I'm very firmly convinced that unless the Giants up their real dollar payroll, if you look at their tax number is what's dancing towards the CBT, which is concerning, but their real cash value is under $200 million. They've got to spend at least $200 million on payroll next year if they're going to get the quality of platoon guys that they want. I want to put a pin in that for a second. But the other part of this was the other value proposition for here. Gabe Kapler, Doug, what you're saying, he was supposed to be the extra 2% in the clubhouse, right? How many times do we hear, oh, if the Giants can just get enough quality prospects, then they can finish their development at the major league level. And all credit to Gabe Kapler before the hiring. You look at even in Philadelphia, you look at his time with the Dodgers. Yes, he covered up some crimes, but so did all the Dodgers. The point is, like, a lot of players that he played with, that played for him, they had a lot of positive things to say about how he approached them. Even Giants, Posey, Belt, Crawford, like, they all give credit to him for helping them with their 2021 seasons and getting used to this whole thing. He was a development guy in LA, not the height, but he was one of the cogs in that machine that turned them into a development force, right? Like, he was in there. And so the fact that the Giants, you know, had a good 6-week run and maybe Patrick Bailey coming out hot, but the prospects kind of withered on the vine as the season went on. I think that's a legitimate criticism to argue too, that even though it wasn't that much time, you were still banking on in year four, you've got Gabe. Like, he can help you finish that development. He could help Farhan Zaidi finish the job. Like, that's why another reason why he hired him, and it didn't happen. So I think, like, that's a part of this. So now maybe the direction is like, well, now I'm not going to count on a guy to finish development here. I'm going to find a guy who can just manage a team, like, really solidly. When the going gets tough, he could actually step up and do something to change the culture a little bit, or just right the ship when things are going astray.
I think that's fair. And I think that's what they need, that they need someone with that specific, like, managerial experience of getting a team back on track. And, you know, we don't know from the outside how much a manager, what a manager does do that, how much they do, how much they're part of it. But if a person has that job, you have to assume that they're useful, basically. So you need someone who will hopefully have that skill set.
But also, there is no evidence that Gabe Kapler was ever different.
Yeah.
So when things are going well and when things are going poorly, that he ever changed. And I think that there is actually a lot of, for being in a management position, a baseball team with all those different personalities, like Alex Wood, come on. You know what I mean? Like dealing with these people day in and day out, like the fact that he wasn't tearing into them, you know, the fact that he didn't change his tune, there is a benefit to that. There's no question. But when things got as bad as they did and there still wasn't any change, I think that's a good time to be like, okay, we've reached the end of the useful life of this way of dealing with the team. We've seen the pluses and minuses of that, and I think we need a little bit more on the plus side for that. I think that's worth it. Now I got to talk about, does that mean Bob Melvin makes sense? He lost the clubhouse in San Diego 2 years in a row. Why would he be a good fit? That's insane. You know what I mean? Like, that's nuts to me that Bob Melvin's name immediately got floated out right after, like, Gabe Kapler fired in part because he kind of lost the clubhouse a little bit. And it's like, but the industry sources are already saying Bob Melvin, if he gets let go in San Diego, that's the exact problem. Maybe worse. He had a way more talented roster. Are people nuts?
Right. Like, hey, what if you took the Giants and took away all the talent? Oh, no, sir. What if you took the Padres, took away all the talent, and they still finished higher? Which of those managers did a better job? Like, it's so unequivocal. Like, obviously, like, Bob Melvin did not do well there. Is not, I don't know, he's not fired yet as of this recording. So, is not doing well there. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a crazy idea. People are saying Joe Maddon. Joe Maddon had the two best players in the game in Los Angeles with the Angels. Didn't get it done. No, pass. We don't need people who have failed like this.
There's like a weird clash going on. On the one hand, I see there's no issue to me that they fired their manager after how the last 2 months of the season went down. That makes sense to me. What's bothering me is it's like they did kind of the fine, like a fine or right thing for maybe the wrong reasons. John Shea being the voice of the white-haired, the silver-haired fan base, which obviously pays the Giants bills. So that's not as much of a criticism so much as like, but they're all their ideas on baseball are sclerotic at this point. They're just so like old fashioned. Did you hear the press conference at all? That it got played on KBR, but you might've been working. I listened to it. And it's like John Shea's like, he was like shaking to platoons. And it's like the big thing with the elderly fans is like platoons. Oh, they're platooning again. Oh, platoons. It's kind of sad. It's kind of shitty that it's like it's kind of like our federal government, like where our country's in a station wagon being driven off a cliff. We can't stop them. But it's like platoons have like you can just lay out all the numbers. The platoons worked for a long time. And it's like, I get it that it bothers people that it does. It actually bothers me too. But at the same time, it's like, what happened that these players stopped being good? Were they never good? That's a good thing to investigate. Where, you know, do they just need slight, you know, when the season gets late and everyone gets tired, they need a different sort of motivation. That's what this new manager search is going to find out. But what, I guess what I'm getting at is like, is Farinzadi going to get pushed so far off the ball just to keep his job that he's going to, you know what I mean? Like actually make the team worse? Because if like the fans are running things, there's no hand on the wheel. It's a, the organization is in free fall. I'm a fan. You're a fan. We should not be running things. So our complaints should be heard in this way. People are complaining. The volume, the specifics of it, maybe the volume is all that matters, but the actual lyrics, the sound of the, what they're saying, it doesn't matter. Like Farhan Zaidi should just look at like, my team is doing worse than it was the year before. Why is this, you know, we've got this stuff about the clubhouse that makes sense to change some things there, but like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't focus on swing decisions so much. It's not quite the same thing as Buster Posey should be the next manager, if not Bob Melvin. That's nuts. What are people doing? Think about this. No, you can't. You're fans. We're fans. We're going to say the most emotional thing, reckless thing that we can say. I think, like, does it matter to you who the next manager is? Or, like, who would you want to see, Doug?
I just looked through, like, a list of people who are managerial candidates. And, like, I'm seeing a bunch of guys, like, I mean, I don't know. I'd be fine, I guess. I don't, like, there's no way to tell. I'm sorry. There's just no way to tell if Stephen Vogt would be a good manager or not. I don't know, you know? And I can have a strong opinion, I guess. I could just decide, you know who I want. I want Will Venable. People have been talking about Will Venable. He is Bruce Bochy's associate manager in Texas right now. I want
him. Dad Max was a former Giant.
Krug and Kipe will say Max and Molly's kids a minimum of Max and Molly's kid a minimum of four times a game. It'll be great. But there's no way to know who these guys are, how they do things. Like, sure, Benji Gill. Yeah, he did a great job coaching Team Mexico in World Baseball Classic this year. Does that mean he could stand up to 162-game season? I don't know. It's one of those things that, you know, you need to kind of hear. The only thing I kind of want to see from a manager is someone who will push back on Varon. Someone who will not be in lockstep with him. And not in like an adversarial, like, apparently Bob Melvin, AJ Preller way, but just in a way that, like, you need to work together. You need different ideas. You need to think differently, or else you will not get, you will both be in the same box, and you need to have different, you need to be, have a bigger box with more ideas so you can get better ones.
So there's a saying, art thrives on restriction. You know, if you have unlimited budgets or you have no concerns, you know, that's not as good as being like, you have a limited budget and you have a deadline, or
what are you talking about? People love Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
I think friction brings out the best of us. That's not the same of desperation. So there are, you know, I don't think an artist in poverty is necessarily a better artist than someone who's not. My point is like friction, some sort of conflict or tension can be very helpful, can help you learn and grow and change. And maybe Zaidi and Kapler being friends, you know, there just wasn't enough friction there. I'm with you. I don't want to see someone who's adversarial unless it's kayfabe. unless he is doing like a wrestling, like it's, they don't believe in you, like kind of thing against the friends, a lame duck thing. I think that's, it is what it has to be, some version of that. I think, you know, the idea is that when you fire a manager, the next guy has to be completely different from the guy before. So like San Diego, Jace Tingler, remember that?
Yeah.
And then they're like, let's get Bob Melvin in here, the exact opposite. But that's like such a stark one. Like Jace Tingler had never managed anything and was dumb. And Bob Melvin's managed a lot and maybe is kind of, you know, bad now. I don't know. But, you know, not having control of an all-star clubhouse, that's a tough beat. I count that as a big demerit on the clubhouse there. It's not like the Bochy situation in San Diego at all. Him leaving out the door. And plus, why would the Padres fire him or give him permission? You know what I mean? Like to go with the Giants? Like it just, I don't know. It's just weird. And Buster Posey, why would Buster Posey want to manage? He's a billionaire. Oh, he's moving back to the city to be close to the team. Like, yeah, but then he'll be gone for half the year. Why would he do? He could, you know what I mean? Like his family could live anywhere if he were to manage the Giants, but he's moving back to be closer. My nervousness about him being part of the search, Doug, it just goes back to, what was he, 0-for-12 on the free agent wooing?
Yeah. Yeah, it did not go well.
Buster Posey, the stay in your lane. Like maybe you have a great sense of what it's like to be a catcher on the field. And like, if you're just going to be in San Francisco and you're going to be like, I'm going to teach Patrick Bailey everything I know. Great. Sign me up. One thing I do like about the Giants, I will say about this current team, and maybe Kapler furnished this, you know, Alex Cobb and is like a mentor to Logan Webb. And as we saw with the Willie Mack Award, Wilmer Flores is a mentor to Thyro Estrada. And I really appreciate that they have that. Like Wilmer Flores is a great player. Mentoring Thyro Estrada is great. Alex Cobb is a great player. Mentoring Logan Webb, that's great. And both of those younger players really look up to those guys. And I'm sure the Giants are basically like, oh, we find the old version of the skill set we think helps the team win, and we find the young version of it. And then look, personality wise, they can like teach each other. You know how like when eighth graders buddy up with kindergartners and grade school, it can all work out, and we can create some harmony there. But all I do know is that fans should not be driving this.
I mean, all I know is that Gabe Kapler probably talked about protein too much. I think if I have to give this, if I have to attribute one cause, I think that's probably it.
And, you know, like we're seeing with the prospects and with all things in baseball, there are certain people that have certain ceilings, and Gabe Kapler might, it's like he didn't get the players. So is this really fair to hold against him? Yeah, why not? He didn't make anything more than what he was given. That seems to me to be maybe not 50% of a manager's job, but it seems like it's in the job description. Can you make, Grant said another great thing in his piece. Like, you knew that Gabe Kapler was the manager of the Giants every night.
Yes.
Almost every inning of every game. And so you knew that, but then did you like him? Did you have a feel like you had a relationship with him? Bochy, to his credit, whenever you felt like he was managing, he had like a personality that you could like goof on or goof with. He'd joke with you. Gabe Kapler, very polished. It was very, that wasn't there. So it was very, very professional. But then also it's like, okay, man, this is your team. You know, you're making all these decisions. And then are these decisions working? No. Like that's, I think it's fair for everyone to arrive at that conclusion. Like the team does take on the personality of its manager, and the personality of the Giants was such that people were like, I don't want to pay for this and I don't want to watch this anymore. It seems like a good time to make changes. I really hope the front office takes some of that to heart. And I think it's stupid that they would say heart would be an irrelevant thing to consider. Which maybe they don't, maybe they do. I've never met a human being like Farhan Zaidi before, just based on his public comments. Like I've never met someone with a public persona like him. Like I've met people like Gabe Kapler before, like in my real life, and had professional relationships with or dealt with, or, you know, like I understand where he's coming from. I get him. But Zaidi, I'm having a tougher read on. Like I can't tell. I think he's a killer. So I can't tell if his public aw shucks charm, how much of that is an affect, how much of that is, you know, real. You know what I mean? Do you remember that Ronald Reagan sketch on SNL?
When yeah, Phil Harper played Ronald Reagan? Jelly beans and the Girl yes. Scouts. Yeah.
Yes. And then as soon as the door is closed, like, all right, this is what I want to do.
We're gonna nuke Iran. Yeah.
And I think just based on, you know, some of the moves that Zaidi makes, he's got a killer instinct. He's like, no, I'm not going to go with Gossman because I'm not signing a pitcher to a 5-year deal. You know what I mean? Also, but now that we are deep enough into his tenure, there's a good chance that that was more ownership driven than we thought.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously
they were like after Cueto, yeah. after Cueto and Samardzija, they're like, no way. And then we get Logan Webb like a month into the season. That doesn't seem, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems like.
I mean, it's possible, but because that's been such a consistent theme of Farhan wherever he's gone. And like you can make an excuse when it's just Oakland because they're a bunch of cheap fucks. But like, you know, he gets to LA and they still don't give out long contracts. And then he gets the Giants and they don't give out long contracts. And at some point you're like, well, I mean, there's a common denominator here. I mean, it also could be that he, you know, he said in his interview, yeah, I don't really feel comfortable giving out long contracts to guys. And ownership was like, hit him. Yes. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a mandate that from them to him. I do think it accords with his personal philosophy a lot.
That's fair. That's fair.
And that is something that he's already talked about changing.
So that just leads me in my next talking point. But about position players, this is the part that also fans need to internalize. So I really do think that the ownership is putting a salary cap, a limitation on what the baseball ops budget can be, which is, you know, the major league payroll plus all the development stuff, what they're paying for the farm system and all that stuff. That's a budget he has to manage. And that's not an insignificant number. He is handling a multi, you know, $200-300 million a year budget. That's not nothing. And he has to be a steward of their money. He still has to factor in that players don't want to hit in San Francisco for 81 games a year. that's kind of a thing that people think can be overridden with the right amount of folksy charm. But if Buster Posey couldn't do it, and Brian Sabian couldn't do it, and Bobby Evans couldn't do it, and Larry Bear couldn't do it, and Peter McGowan could do it, but that was a once in a lifetime thing, I think. You know what I mean? Like, Sabian could get Carlos Beltran by trading for him. Maybe that's what people are saying, like, well, given all that, then he's got to figure out a way to make a big trade. And so maybe that's the lesson that Varon's idea has to learn. I didn't make that big trade in my 5 years.
Yeah. No, I think it's entirely possible. He has to get that talent, hitting talent specifically, into the organization. So at some point, it's just do what you have to do. And like, you don't want that to mean goodbye Kyle Harrison. But it, if that's the only way to get a young hitter who can, you know, who can make an impact, which is something they desperately need, then you do have to consider it.
We'll be talking about it off and on during the offseason. On Thursday is going to be our season finale, though. We're going to do a season wrap-up and the final Bullpen Trust power rankings. Again, I'm still heartbroken. I'm crestfallen. Doug, you're going to be writing about the Giants this offseason?
I will. You can find me at giantsdoug.substack.com. I write Tuesdays and Thursdays. Come check it out. I'm not going to stop just because it's the off season, because I'm stupid. Brian, where can people find you?
McCoveyChronicles.com today. And this morning I posted who most deserves this Giants season ranked. And I encourage everyone to check it out because I think it turned out all right. I think people should read it and then comment on it. And not the same as whose fault is it? Just want everyone to be clear.
Like, who had it coming? Yeah.
If I rub my cat's belly too long, my hand's coming back a stump. And I'll be like, I deserve that. So it's in that spirit. Check out fansfirstsports.com for all the other podcasts. Now that there's football season going on and NBA is right around the corner, check out those podcasts. Oakland Warriors podcast I referenced earlier in the show did that promo. 49ers have a podcast. And check out at fansfirstsn on Twitter and at Giants Croncast on Twitter. I guess I'll be tweeting from there during the offseason some more as well. So until Thursday, when we'll be back with an all new episode,
go Giants.